This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. Hosting this program has been quite a ride, and you may have heard that I'm moving on in the new year for a new gig in television. I wanted to thank you for going on this journey with me and look back on some of my favorite programs. Sometimes a show stands out just because it was so much fun, and that's how I feel about last year's conversation with August Green. It's a musical trio made up of pianist Robert Glasper, drummer Kareem Riggins, and rapper Common. Their sound is a fusion of jazz and funk and hip-hop that encapsulates the sound of social justice and a changing world. They made a splash with a Tiny Desk concert back at the White House in 2016. Later, they won an Emmy Award for their song Letter to the Free from the soundtrack to the documentary 13th. We began the conversation with a deceptively simple question. What was behind August Green?
You know, the vision was just to create something that we felt was really natural to us, organic. It wasn't like we went in with some big master plan. It just was musicians who love creating music and having the freedom to do something that didn't restrict me as being Common or restrict Robert as being Robert Glasper or restrict Kareem as being Kareem, meaning we've all created music in different genres, but we just wanted this to just be fresh music for the people's hearts and souls.
We will listen to some more of that music in just a moment, but Robert Glasper, let me put a similar version of that question to you and ask you what it was you wanted to do or are trying to do with August Green that may be different from what you've done before.
Basically, I wanted to, the vibe of this, well, you know, Rasheed has always been an actual real jazz fan, you know what I mean?
Common.
Yeah, sorry. I know him personally.
So. Well, there you go.
Yeah. I think we're friends. I think so.
That's Mr. Rasheed. I'm very sorry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Rasheed. You know,
so it's not one of those situations where, you know, the rapper's trying to be cool and just put some jazz in it because he feels like it's cool. He really loves jazz. I mean, literally used to come to my jazz trio shows in like year 2000 at little bars in Brooklyn. You know what I mean? So this was just kind of nostalgic to bring the two together because he used to come freestyle with me when I was in college. You know what I mean? At those shows. So this was just kind of my way of kind of, you know, bringing that feeling back. You know, like just the honesty of that era. You know what I mean?
Kareem Riggins, where did the name August Green come from?
We came up with that name, I want to say, back in 2006, 2007. And we were going to do a project of just, I was going to do some instrumentals and he's going to do some raps. And it was going to be like raw breaks and whatnot. But we never got a chance to do that. So when we came together as a group, we wanted to use that name.
So you've been sitting on this idea for a long time.
Been sitting
time.
On the name.
Is the name someone's name? Is it a place?
It's more so a play on words. You know, it means a lot to me, being that I was born in August. You know, August is, you know, the summer, fall, so it's still
It's green. All about you, huh?
It's all about me. My birthstone is green.
This is all about Kareem, man. This is what happens with groups, man.
See, I can tell how this hour is going to go.
We're already breaking up.
It's already breaking up. The end of August Green, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder, though, also, you know, Common, maybe for you, what does the name August Green mean? Is it a place? What? Is it a person? What is it?
Well, you know, for me, like, as Rob alluded to or just said, I love jazz. So for some reason, it makes me feel like a jazzy, like, you know, the song Blue and Green.
Miles Davis.
Yeah, and it just, I don't know, it just sounds fresh to me. I can't give it like some magical meaning or whatever, but like even when I first came up with the name Common Sense, it was just like, Common Sense. I like that name. So August Green, it has an aesthetic that I think just allows us, even the group, to just be as free as we want to be, and I just like the way the name sounds.
Very Verbena tweeted, what goal or goals does August Green wish to accomplish that the already successful individual artists in the group could not achieve in their respective careers? Robert, what about that?
In this group, I get to exercise my ability to write rhymes for other MCs. So I wrote all the Common's rhymes, basically is what I'm saying.
Don't you believe it, Josh.
I think it's a platform for us to really push the marriage of hip hop and jazz together in a really organic way. You know what I mean? And bring the musicality back to hip hop, but in a live, actual, real instrument way. You know,
Kareem, if you could riff off of that, it seems like this intersection between hip hop and jazz to me, it seems cyclical. Like every few years, every decade or so, you'll find a group like Diggable Planets or someone who kind of refuses them and then they split and then they refuse and they split. Is this something that kind of comes around every now and then? Is this something that you're finding more artists are discovering or rediscovering?
I feel like it's part of our generation. Like we grew up listening to jazz as well as hip hop. So it's just something that's in our blood. You know, Robert and I do that, but I feel like our music has so many other genres that cross, you know, as far as rock music, like we got some heavy hitting stuff in there, funk. So a lot of the young musicians, I feel, are incorporating a lot of the hip hop in their music as well.
We're speaking to jazz drummer Kareem Riggins, pianist Robert Glasper, and hip hop artist Common about their new group, August Green. Let's get to a little bit of your new music. Before we do, Common, I wonder what your sense is of the role of music in activism today. You performed at the March for Our Lives with Andra Day. You sang Stand Up for Something, which was amazing.
Thank you.
I will never not love Andra Day. Nobody gonna make me not love her. Yeah. But it seems like in the last, particularly since the election of Barack Obama and up to the election, and then after the election of Donald Trump, that music has played a very visceral role in social activism, including with a lot of new music.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as we know, like when the times get rough, a lot of art inspires people. It brings people together. It brings awareness. That's why we had some of that powerful music from the 60s, like What's Going On, and Gil Scott-Heron, and artists like Coltrane making songs, you know, like Alabama, dealing with social issues. Right now, because people have felt so, at a point when Donald Trump got in office, people were like confused and feeling divided. I felt a lot of artists took it upon themselves to say, we have to say something, we have to do something. And it plays a big part because that music, like I wake up in the morning and I need to listen to music sometimes to get me just inspired. That music inspires the movement in many ways and also reminds us and encourages us to continue on as we move in this movement and figure out like, man, we all in this together and the people that are on the side of good, let's keep playing these songs, singing these songs. I mean, in the marches, you have people singing songs and in any protest, people add music to those things. So it plays an important part.
Let's listen to one of the tracks from the new self-titled album, August Green. This is the second single on the album. Here's a clip of the song, Black Kennedy.
Riding through the city with the top down. We ain't got no ceilings to our thoughts now. It's a beautiful ride.
Macaroons, easy afternoons, shorties, buckshots, under blacker moons, in search of yellow suns, undeveloped ones. They get hella guns, heat and melanin. The streets where we from, beats heavy drums. Wish I could put Jordans on the feet of everyone. Black Kennedy, royalty with black identity, leader of the freestyle. I go to penitentiaries and write with the fight of Reverend Wright from Trinity. For centuries, they'll remember me for my similes. But I metaphor more than that. No matter how rich I get, I'ma pour it back. The jurisdiction of justice, nonfiction of a hustler's heart. From dust we start and we must embark to...
That's from Black Kennedy. They're in here rapping along.
Yeah.
That's like me reading my script when I hear myself on the radio.
That line was crazy.
It was great. Robert, what are you trying to say in Black Kennedy? What's that about?
It's just talking about black excellence. You know what I mean? You know, just talking about the highest, having people see you in the greatest light as a black person. You know what I mean? In whatever that is, and whatever you do.
Why is that something, Robert, that was a theme that stood out, this idea of black excellence?
Because you don't really get a chance to see that a lot of times. It's not a normal thing even when you turn on the TV. I mean, in the history of being black in America, you know, there's a long point in time where we couldn't be on TV, and then we were on TV. We were looked at as only, you know, you could only be a maid, or you could only be this, or you know what I mean,
Diane Carroll, or
all
like,
that.
Yeah.
And even now, it's, you know, black people get small roles. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't get as many big roles as we should. So it's like it's really good to see black people in a certain light. You know what I mean?
But Joshua, I got to say, as you said, Diane Carroll, that's black excellence, and you know, when we look at Michelle Obama and President Obama, but then even just, you know, everyday people that we don't know their names, we just reinforcing the black excellence. And as a kid, for me, it wasn't like, I didn't grow up knowing that I could be like, yo, I'm black and I'm beautiful. Mm-hmm. Until I saw people like Muhammad Ali saying it, and you know, and that became a phrase that, and I started to embrace it. And I feel like that song is just re-encouraging that. Like, we can say, yo, we are black excellence, and not be dissing any other nationality, because we respect and love them,
right,
too.
I do want to talk more also about the musical construction of songs like Black Kennedy when we come back in conversation with Kareem Riggins, Robert Glasper, and Common. Lala, who's listening from the D.C. area, tweeted, no question but a comment, I love all three of the members of August Greene individually, and I'm so excited about this collaboration. We'll talk more to August Greene in just a moment. I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.
Let the people go so they can face the East and grow. Time for everything. Everything is seasonal. I dreamed enough. Everything is believable. It's feasible. If I was a Kennedy, I'd be a black Kennedy. Black car, black tux. This is black symmetry. Raised in the shadow, my family from Tennessee. I remember me, Reem Dilla, we was in the D.
Riding through the city with the top down. We ain't got no ceilings to our thoughts now. It's a beautiful ride. Riding through the city with the top down. We ain't got no ceilings to our thoughts now. It's a beautiful ride.
This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson. Today we're looking back at some of the best conversations I've hosted during my 3 years at 1A. Today's program originally aired back in 2018. It's a conversation with August Greene, a hip-hop supergroup comprised of pianist Robert Glasper, drummer Kareem Riggins, and rapper Common. Kareem Riggins, let's go back to Black Kennedy. Talk about how that song was put together. What kinds of musical elements came together in that, and when did you know you had the mix just right?
We started with the drums. I would go into the studio and record a lot of drum ideas, and this one in particular was inspired by our brother Jay Dilla. The syncopation in there has a kind of a lop side to it, and the first element we put on there was Robert's piano. Mm-hmm. And the chords that Robert plays invokes a lot of emotion. So that is what was the core idea of the
I'm
song.
I'm a very emotional person.
You look it. But when you start improvising, Robert, how does that work? Do you need something to inspire you? Do you just sit down and start hitting keys? Or like, what's your process like?
The drums inspire me, literally. So most of the time we have Kareem going first, because the drums just give you drums a lot of times. A good drum beat really can define a genre.
We actually got a comment about your drumming, Kareem, from Jeff in Cleveland, who tweeted, and also Robert, about your work. Digging Robert Glasper since Jelly's the Beaner. Heard him in Cleveland with a bass player singing through his bass. His group's drum patterns are so good. How would you describe them? Almost sound like New Orleans second line beats.
Hmm. Interesting. How would I describe the beats?
Mm-hmm.
Houston funk.
it's a gumbo of things, because I'm sure there's some New Orleans. I'm from Texas. You know, okay, what I'm saying? So I'm from down south. I'm very inspired by Dilla. I grew up in church. Mm-hmm. I'm a jazz cat. You know what I mean? I mean Kareem Riggs used to play with Ray Brown, like one of my jazz heroes. You know what I mean? So we just have it's a gumbo of things. You know what I mean? So it's who knows which way it's coming from. But
speaking of New Orleans, I should note, for those of you who might have missed our previous conversation, we did spend an hour with New Orleans Mayor Mitch Landrieu on this program about a week ago, where he told us the canonical, official, proper pronunciation of the name of the city. Here's a hint. It's never New Orleans. You'll find that conversation on our website, the1a.org. Common, what about you? How do you write a rhyme? Does it start with some specific inspiration? Do you just start scribbling words? What's your process like?
My process is usually the music first, because the music has a personality and a spirit to it. And I want to be an instrument with what I'm doing and be a compliment and not try to like match. I used to write raps before I got the beat, and it's just like, you don't, at that point it's like you're not like playing with the musicians, you know, or playing with the music as a vocalist. So I get, you know, especially with August Greene, we create, it's just like a spontaneity, a spirit there. And once, you know, that comes, I just like start saying words, and it's like I don't write my rhymes down. I like just either I like riding in my car and just saying thoughts and driving around, and I just say my thoughts and remember them, or I'll just start it in the studio, start a couple lines, and but I never sit there and write the whole song in the studio. Working with Samora has been great because he'll start some ideas out, and then I'll just take it and go from there. But overall, my writing process is sitting, listening to the beat wherever I am, and just freestyling.
So sure. I've literally never seen him write anything down.
No,
memorize.
He just spits it out.
I started thinking, could he even write? Write something now.
Keegan, do not give Common a literacy test on this program. That's the headline I need. Yeah. NPR host under fire for forcing an African American hip hop star to take a literacy test live.
Like, yeah, how you write that whole rhyme without writing nothing down?
Right, and now I have to update my resume. Thank you. But Kareem, that puts a lot of pressure on you as the drummer, since the beat often is the genesis of everything else.
Yeah. Well, it's easy because I go in not with the intent on making a song. Sometimes I go in and just practice.
It takes some practice. That's one of our songs.
Exactly. What about the political aspect? There are obviously some very clear political tones in what we just heard and in the album. Some of your work, Common, has been described as political poetry. How much does the social aspect, and really for all three of you, factor into the way that you compose music?
Well, I mean, music is an art form. It's like we do it. God blessed us to be able to do music. So I feel like we just create music from our spirit and our heart and what we, you know, think is dope. But I think living life, you know, you see what's going on in the world, and it's like I feel as an artist the responsibility to say something to what's going on, and especially because throughout the journey I've seen how much music influences human beings and inspires and, you know, can help change lives. So it's like, I don't sit there and be like, I'm about to write a protest song. But it's like, man, if this on my heart and I see things going on in the world, I'm just going to write it. I write whatever comes to my mind. I'm not like trying to say, oh man, let me hit this crowd or that crowd or let me be the new revolutionary, you know. But it's like, man, let me speak on what I see and what I feel and let that come, and that's how it goes, really.
It must feel sometimes like there's almost too much that you could speak on. I mean, we just had a ruling on the Alton Sterling case in Louisiana that the officers involved would not face charges. There was a man named Stephon Clark who was killed in Sacramento, an unarmed black man, father of two. The Sacramento City Council was disrupted, I think, just last night by protesters. There's so much going on. How do you decide what to react to and how?
Well, it's like certain things just honestly, like when you see Alton Sterling, that hits you. But you may not say, you might not deliver it in an exact, like, I saw Alton Sterling and this is what happened. You know, approaching art, you got to do it in a beautiful way or people won't even get the message. You know, like, it's at the end of the day, it's still music. We listen to it for a reason, and we want to be entertained and inspired. So I think it's important to make it fresh no matter what. And I, you know, those subjects, the things that happen, you know, you take it in and try to put, you know, let whatever you write about cover a whole world of things that's happening.
Clearly quite a few of you appreciate this kind of music. Geraldine is among them. Geraldine emailed, I participated in both women's marches and the March for Our Lives, and we desperately need hymns or anthems we can sing. Please ask your guests to make protest songs for us to sing as we march. Chants get stale over the course of hours, and they lose meaning. We need help with messages, folk music, and short songs written for voices with no particular musical talent. Robert, what about you? Do you find outlets for activism, for social causes through music, especially since your contribution is not lyrical, it's instrumental?
It's instrumental, yeah, for sure. On many of my albums, I have I try to cover things that are happening, but I'm not one of those. I don't talk a lot, you know. So I have like speeches, or like for instance, one of my albums, I had my son Riley. He was, I guess, 6 at the time, and I had a bunch of his schoolmates say the names of different people killed by the police, and we replayed Kendrick Lamar's "Dying of Thirst" under it. You know what I mean? And on one of my songs, I had Harry Belafonte speaking, you know, about his upbringing, about things happening. You know what I mean? So I just try to infuse some of those things into the music, you know, kind of like crushing the aspirin in the orange juice a little bit, you know what I mean? So you love the music and then you realize, oh, what they're talking about, what we're talking about also. So it's, you know, not every day people turn on a speech, but every day people turn on music.
Right. So, some of it for you is the music producing aspect.
The cocktail of it. Yeah. How do I mix this and make it a nice cocktail of both of these things?
You know? Let's listen to another track from August Greene's debut album as we continue our conversation with Robert Glasper, Kareem Riggins, and Common. This track is called Let Go, Nirvana.
I need to let go. I need to let go.
Sitting in the shadow of me, gradually battling me, a fall from grace like Adam and Eve. Search for the inner Vatican in me, the temple, the body, I'm mental, I'm godly. Somehow I made my mess ups my hobby. Is it the stress and the pressure? Probably. Out here with much anger inside me. Don't know who my friends are, stranger inside me. Stranger things, getting high, clipped off my angel wings. Thought I was gonna fly when Obama became the king. Pain and disdain are the rings that I wear. It's just the price of life when things ain't as fair. To pay dues and you still owe something on them. When you bruise and they still want something from you, run through my mind. Tripping over time, it's moving faster than me, haphazardly. So much drive that I crashed into me. Father, will time be my last enemy? What will my soul be worth when you cash in?
That was Let Go from August Greene's debut album. Kareem, tell us about the guy who's singing on that, Samora Pender Hughes. We see him in the Tiny Desk concert. What's his story?
He's an incredible pianist as well, writer, songwriter, singer, and he's from the Bay Area. And I met him through his sister, Elena Pender Hughes, who's a flautist, incredible flautist, singer as well. And we met just working on this project. And Elena brought him in to write on something, and he's incredible.
I want to dig in on one part of the verse that we played. Stranger things, getting high, clipped off my angel wings. Thought I was going to fly when Obama became the king. Pain and disdain are the rings that I wear. It's just the price of life when things ain't as fair. Yeah. What are you trying to say in the song?
In that song, I'm really saying it specifically in those verses. It's like, you know, when Obama got in office, we all were like, man, the world has changed. Everything is better. But I'm still talking about my own personal, and I'm writing hypothetically because I really ain't a big weed smoker, but it's like talking about like when you're getting high, you know, sometimes it just wastes your day and you thought everything was going to be all right when Obama was president, but it took more than just that. It's like an internal thing that has to happen. And, you know, politically, we know that Obama did what he could in office, but he faced so much resistance that things didn't change as much as we wanted them. And as we can see right now, it kind of is actually bringing out the worst in some people. I think, you know, to get political, the reason why I think Trump is in office is because of the response to Obama being president and so many people being upset about a black man running the country in a peaceful way.
Robert, there's something kind of very mournful about the song Let Go. It almost feels like defeated, like deflated, that lyric, even just the way he sings, I need to let go, it's almost kind of trailing off, fading away. Mm-hmm. There's something kind of almost broken in the tone of the song. Am I getting this right?
In a way, but I feel it's more of a let go, let God thing. You know what I mean? Like, you can't really do anything about it. So it's bigger than you. It's bigger than us. So just let go, you know what I mean? And things will get better, you know what I mean? But there's also that a lot of times when you're feeling that way, even when you know things will get better or when you know it's out of your hands, you know, you still sometimes feel defeated. That's a real feeling, you know what I mean? So it's kind of meeting people at that feeling.
I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A. Alex in North Carolina tweeted, thank you for showcasing incredible art with a profound purpose. Monica tweeted, what did it mean to the group to be part of the documentary 13th? That was one of your collaboration songs, as we noted at the top of the program, featured in the documentary by Ava DuVernay. Here is a clip of that song, Letter to the Free.
Come, hold on, won't be long. caged bird sings for freedom to ring. Black bodies being lost in the American dream. Blood a black bean, a pastoral scene. Slavery still alive, check Amendment 13. Not whips and chains, our subliminal. Instead of they use the word criminal. Sweet land of liberty, incarcerated country. Shot me with your ray gun and now you wanna trump me. Prison is a business, America's the company. Investing in the justice, fear and long suffering. We staring in the face of hate again. The same hate they say will make America great again. No consolation prize for the dehumanized. For America to rise, it's a matter of black lives. And we gon' free them so we can free us. America's moment to come to Jesus.
Letter to the Free from the documentary 13th, directed by Ava DuVernay. Common, some very direct references to today's politics in the lyrics.
Yes, man. I mean, you know, watching the 13th, reading the book New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, all those things really struck me on how mass incarceration has really tried to destroy completely the black family.
And I'm sorry to interrupt. Just by way of context for people who haven't seen 13th, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution was the one that technically decriminalized slavery or any kind of involuntary captivity for any purpose other than for the commission of a crime. So the documentary 13th is about prison in America and how the legacy of slavery still affects African Americans and people of color through the prison system.
Yes, Joshua. So that being said, like, I had to be direct. We had to be direct with this song and approach it. When you watch Ava's film 13th, it's like you everything is spelled out so intelligently and so in your face that you see how the prison system is affecting all of our lives and has changed our lives and how slavery is really like still alive without the title slavery. And I'm saying that because people that get in prison, black and brown people, specifically, when you come out, it's like it's hard for you to get a job. Hard for you in many places, you can't vote when you get out. Hard to get housing. You basically placed as a second class citizen. So I wanted to speak on that directly. It was no like trying to be too. Even though I thought about it in a poetic way, because when I first started writing it, I was thinking of the song "Strange Fruit." I still wanted people, it had to hit directly in their heart and let them know this is what's going on in the world.
One more quick question before we have to pause. Willix in St. Louis tweeted, "How do your guests find peace when so much is going on?" Kareem, what about you?
I definitely find it in the music. You know, the music that we create is so much positivity and love and God in the music, you know, and that is the most inspiring thing for me.
Is that some of the purpose that you're trying to impart to others with this music to help them? Is it about finding peace or social activation or?
Definitely. We try to spread love through the music, you know, because we respect our instruments first and foremost. And to be able to play this is a blessing, you know, so that's definitely what we're trying to spread.
Robert, what about you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's funny. People always ask me, do I meditate and do I do yoga? And I realized that what we do is meditation, you know, the music we create. And when we create it, when we're playing, you know, I'm blessed to be able to say that what I do for a living is my meditation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that brings peace. So when that piece is in the music and we give it to other people, you know, we're meeting them there. You know,
much more to discuss with Robert Glasper, Kareem Riggins, and Common of August Green. Still to come, we'll talk a little bit more about your collaborators. We'll talk more about what's next for the group. I wonder if I might get Common to freestyle.
Yeah, we'll get into a freestyle.
We'll give that a try.
If not, I got you.
There you go. As we go to break, here's another track from August Green's self-titled debut album entitled The Time. Stay close.
My rhymes will be the riddle and let's get it in. America's divided, the dividend is the middleman. We need to cut them out, cause can't nobody govern the route of my destiny. Ebony covers and lovers, I respect them like they all mothers. And I'm
ready and I don't wanna wait. I know my glory's on the way. It's time to let the death be trade off. I give thanks, I'm not afraid.
We'll continue in a moment after a quick heads up about a special series happening in January. It's become a yearly 1A tradition, spotlighting your pitches for topics you'd like us to cover. We have already gotten a tidal wave of suggestions, and now it's time to vote. You can do that on our Facebook page, just search for 1A, or go to our Twitter feed, at 1A. We've got the poll there. We've grouped some of the best pitches by topic. You can vote on which ones you like, and the winners will air on 1A day in the new year. You can find the link to vote at facebook.com/the1A show, on Twitter at 1A, or online at the1A.org.
Your phrasing is amazing.
I'm sorry, Robert, what'd you say?
Your phrasing is amazing.
My phrasing is amazing?
Yeah. The what breath control and the phrasing in between, it's awesome.
Well, thank you.
There's an art to that.
Well, I think so.
Yeah, there is.
That means a lot coming from you.
Yeah, it's definitely a skill.
It's a skill, yeah. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Well, see, okay, since we talk about we're back with August Green, by the way. Common, Robert Glasper, and Kareem Riggins, who are taking over the program. But he's taking it over with a compliment, so keep it coming. It's fine. Well, I think there's an art to it, but you are a professional phrasing artist, and from just listening to you speak with a very specific cadence. I don't know if you know this. Like, you speak in rhythm whenever you talk.
I didn't really notice that. I mean, but I have to say, your skill is really great, like what you're doing. Like, people don't know what it takes to deliver what you're doing, and I gotta applaud you on that too, the same way Robert just said. But the way I talk is just, man, Chicago, you know, dude from the South Side. I don't know, like, if I, you know, I don't know what else is there. But I do want to say one thing to, when you was talking about peace, that I didn't get to say.
Yes, please.
I was like, man, when they were saying something about music, that really meant something. Like, I find, like, 'cause I find peace in God and just taking some time to myself. But I feel like music is a divine expression, and it's really a peace in that. So I just wanted to say that because I didn't get a chance to answer that question.
When did you first know that you could do this? When did you know that you could not just rap, but that you could rap really well?
Well, when I wrote my first rap, I was 12 years old, and like, my cousin and a lot of our friends who were older, it was a group around in Cincinnati. I would visit my cousin, and these guys were like the Run DMC of Cincinnati, and they were known. So when I wrote my first rap, and they all responded, and everybody was saying my rap, I was like, wow, I got something. I didn't know I could be would turn it into a career, but it just was done for the love. But right then I knew that because I love writing. I love James Baldwin. I love Langston Hughes and Richard Wright. So, and Dr. Maya Angelou, Nikki Giovanni. So it was like, I just knew right there.
Kareem, what about you? When did you know that music could be your path? Not just your avocation, but your profession, that you were good enough to do this?
When I was in third grade. Being with my dad, playing at the jazz festivals. My dad played a lot of years with Grant Green, so I was around that high level music. And when I was in third grade, I also played trumpet. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah,
Marcus Belgrave was under the, you know, Marcus Belgrave mentor. And then when I started to play in the band, play drums, that's when I knew I wanted to be a musician and follow in the footsteps of my father.
What about you, Robert? When did you know?
Well, the story goes, I was in ninth grade on the basketball team, but I was on the C team.
You was terrible.
I was horrible. And I was on the bench, so I just slid the bench over to the piano. <That's> I always played the piano. I started playing piano around 11. I was kind of late, 11, 12, because I was really into sports. But then I just got serious once I really realized I wasn't going to have a career in basketball.
So. You were like, I'm on the bench, but people could be paying attention to me on this other bench.
On this other bench, exactly, right, exactly.
Slide that way. Raymond wrote on our Facebook page, yes, Common, I thought Obama getting elected had turned a corner for us as a society, but I was wrong. Apparently, political change doesn't always equal social change and vice versa. Susie is listening in Oviedo, Florida. She emailed, I learned about Robert Glasper on NPR and love him. Within the last year, I have been dabbling in rap and hip-hop, finding the sound refreshing and listening to some hard truths. I am a 49-year-old white woman. I've been expanding my tastes. Music breaks down barriers. And here's to black excellence.
Yes.
Thank you for what you are contributing to our society.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Frank in Chicago tweeted, for August Green, who are some of the other contributors to the album? And does the group choose who they'd like to feature? Kareem, why don't you talk about some of the other contributors? We mentioned one already.
Definitely. We have bass player Bernice Travis, who actually co-wrote on Let Go. We also have...
Bilal's on there.
Bilal, wow, we have so many. Estelle,
Brandy
Norwood. So,
yep.
Brandy was
Roy Hargrove.
Brandy sings on your cover of the song Optimistic by Sounds of Blackness. If you saw the NPR Tiny Desk concert, you saw Brandy sing. Here is a little clip of her with August Greene performing Optimistic.
I own it, get it when I want it, composition of the golden. Enroll the school of life, do the dice, do it like
eyes on the prize.
Living in ambition on a mission impossible. Envision optimism through a prismless optical to see through obstacles and be remarkable.
Feed the spark in you. Eyes on the prize.
Living it for the infinite, intuit of the intimate, influenced by the sentiments, intuit to winning it, surrendered it to the sky, centered in my eye,
eyes on the prize.
Living in the glory and the story of warrior, victoria, the more we love, from how poor we was, to euphoria, kicking the door because we think notorious,
eyes on the prize.
That was Brandy with August Greene singing Optimistic. You said in the concert that you intentionally tried to foreground the voices of female performers for each number. Robert, what was the thought process behind that?
It was just, you know, just responding to the movement that the movement that's happening now. You know, women and not getting the, you know, the just do and the being, you know, in the being in the workplace. Or, you know, I have a lot of female musician friends who are just because they're females don't get certain looks. And, you know, all these things, they're super dope, you know. So it's just about the equality and just let's put women in the forefront, you know.
I have to say, Kareem, I watched the Tiny Desk concert last night. I hadn't seen it yet, but watched the whole thing. It was a great 36-minute concert. And the first woman who sings, whose name I can't recall, she...
Who went first? Maimouna.
Yes. What's Maimouna?
Maimouna Youssef.
Maimouna Youssef. Yes. She sings and raps on the first collaborative track. I think it's the second or third song of the concert. And I just expected her to sing, and then she starts rapping, and I was like, oh, dang, she can rap.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And then I thought, why wouldn't I presume she could?
Right.
I was convicted in that moment. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's part of what you were going for, but when I watched it, I had to check my own bias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think versatility is important nowadays. You know, you have a lot of people that just do one thing, but she's multi-talented, you know. And I met her through Rashid.
Yeah. And she, you know, she's a very powerful voice. She, you know, when I met her, she actually did some vocals on the album B on a song called Love Is, produced by J. Dillon. She kind of was like a young Lauryn Hill to me at that point, like as far as a great voice and could rap really good. But like you said, though, you know, sometimes we go in with our own biases, right, thinking, but she breaks down those walls. And I think that's what Robert was saying to secondhand that. It's just like we, within that presentation, we wanted to show that we breaking down the walls of what people think women should be doing. And just, man, just equality.
I don't think we would have that bias if we were see that more.
Right. Yeah.
It's not that dope women don't exist.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? They're here.
But you don't see many. Well, right. She blew my wall off.
We just don't
she
see
didn't bring
right.
it
yeah.
out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, but then as I think back, like, I grew up, I mean, I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up with women rappers, Queen right. Latifah and Salt-N-Pepa and JJ Fad and MC Light. And it's not new, but somewhere along the way, yes. I don't know if it was the music industry or what, but the preconception about what women could or should do in hip-hop got calcified.
Yeah.
And it's chipping away from, I don't know what happened, but it locked up for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It just didn't lock up only in hip hop. It kind of locked up when you think about it, like from a Hollywood perspective to just in, as we said, in everyday life and jobs, the opportunities hadn't been there. I mean, look, this has been a issue going on in the world since the world been created that mm-hmm. that women hadn't gotten their just due. So it's just, you know, a new day. So
Miguel emailed, I think that this group will be the new wave of music, especially in the hip-hop genre. I love the jazz and hip-hop genres. I'm a poet who likes to groove my poetry with jazz. A lot of my pieces are politically driven, so I can relate to this new groove. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thanks.
Zulu Khan tweeted, Joshua, we're looking forward to you doing a freestyle. No, but I would, however, love for Common to do a freestyle. I believe in staying in my lane, so this is where I pull over.
Okay.
But before, I know you provided us with some music from Robert, but before you do, how did you figure out, was this something that always came naturally to you, or did you have to kind of, you know, claw your way at getting good at it?
Well, no, it's definitely it's been a process of learning to get good at it, but part of it is just being free. Like, I mean, as much as this sounds corny, it's like freestyle, just stay free with it. But it came through just me hanging out with my guys in Chicago and like really wanting to light the crowd up. And whether that crowd was I've had to freestyle at church. I've had to freestyle just in the car with my friends while, you know, we just hanging out. And, you know, so it's been different situations, and you just, you know, you just want to touch the people. I think is what we talked about when you just like, it's like a meditation. You just let everything flow through.
All right. I think we're going to give this a shot. I'm not sure how long this track is, but let's see if we can get you for a good 60-second freestyle. Let's let this play.
Produced by August Green.
Oh, yeah, that's one of our outtakes.
Okay, give us a good, on whatever you like. I'll just back up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Back up, back up, back up. I can act up. Comp sense protractor. What kind of happened, yo? They said he was an actor, but yo, I'm like a rapper. I can trap a style. Let you know what happened, cause I came from Stony Isle. They said comp sense, yo, you get respect, man. Joshua said you only got 60 seconds. It's all good, this the glory for one day. Came to rock stuff when I come to the 1A. I can see the flag, and yo, I gotta brag. Got my man out there, he used to drive that Jag. He from the D, he from Houston. Houston. We keep producing, they keep producing, using these things, there's no confusion. When it came to this, yo, you know we gotta funk it up. I just learned Kareem played the trumpet. Joshua, you know Joshua like the Bible. When I used to rhyme, I used to do it for survival. Now it's like tribal, the way I go, no idols. I can tell you this is vital signs. I drink tea and I drink a little juice. I told you earlier, Robin Kareem produced the album called August Green. We met the scene, told you it's all here, supreme the team. And if you try to stop me, I'ma keep rocking and I'ma stay proper. You turn on the music like they did on the Oscars, so I could cut the speech off. When it comes to this conscience, I came to reach all people. This is how we do, no equal. Do it right here on the WAMU Comp Sense, yo. I gave you a view and I said a 1-2, and you know how we do. So Joshua, I'm coming through, yo. We said earlier you did your thing, but right now you're chilling here with August Green.
Yeah.
I'm Joshua Johnson, and you're listening to 1A.
Wow! Yeah, how the hell did you do that? I can't. Damn it! I can't be cool. How do you do that? I'm serious. Like, where? How? I want to know. Dog on it. At first, here's what's wrong with being in D.C. Right? Being a journalist makes you cynical, and so I'm thinking, he's stringing together a bunch of stuff that he wrote like 4 weeks ago, and he remembered a bunch of bits and pieces. Right, right. And then you threw in 1A and our producing station WAMU. And the thing with the trumpet. And you, yeah. Robert, you co-signed. You didn't know that before. And so you said, how do you do that comment?
I don't know, man.
I'm pulling
man.
Back the curtain. Like the wizard's just a man. How did you do that?
I don't know, man. Come on, man.
But seriously, just watching you, like for those of you who are watching the Facebook Live video, you seemed like you went somewhere, like I could see the gears turning in your head. I don't know, are you even conscious of what you're doing when
I'm
you're doing this?
I'm rhyming, man. I love to rap, man. I love hip-hop. I love MCing, man. So I just do what I... This is a blessing to be here, and I just want to rhyme, man.
Well, quit dazzling people, damn it. Making me look bad in my own house. That was amazing. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's get to a few more questions for them before our time is up. Trevor had a more general question. Trevor tweeted, been following August Green and Common for years. My question, what is something you wish you were told at 20 years old that you learned too late? Something you wish you had known back at 20. Kareem?
Pay taxes.
Yes. Our interview with Wesley Snipes just crossed my mind, yeah. But I'm not going to bring it up. Robert Common, something you wish you knew at 20 years old, maybe even something that would have helped you artistically or musically that you wish you knew sooner.
Oh, man. Less is more.
Mm. Elaborate on that.
As a jazz musician, a lot of times we try to play everything we know, all the vocabulary, because, you know what I mean? Like, because we know we have to know so much to play the music. And I feel like I would have been on some of Rashid Common's earlier albums if I would have played less. If I knew how to
streamline a little bit.
Streamline a little bit, yeah, for sure.
Common, what about you? What do you wish you had known sooner?
I mean, I honestly wish I would have known to learn music. Like, my entry to music was writing raps. And I, you know, even at the age of 27, I asked Robert to teach me piano because I just didn't know any instruments to play. I asked Kareem to teach me drums, you know, like when I was 25. So it's like, mm-hmm. These are things I wish I had the courage, you know, because as Robert, I kind of wanted to be an athlete. So if I would have had the courage to just say, I'm going to be a musician too, I would be Austin Robert. I would be playing keys. August Green would just be me and Kareem.
And then what would it be like?
Karen, email y'all at 20, man.
Right.
I know y'all at 20.
See, you guys are having too much fun. This is NPR. We're not like
Karen emailed, these young men are heroes that I just met. I have hope. Between young artists like these and the politically active teens coming up, I have hope for the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe that's a good place for us to end. I see you're wearing a March for Our Lives t-shirt right now. Yeah. Obviously, the music was featured in the march. Where do you hope in our last few seconds that this music goes from here? Robert, where do you hope this goes from here?
I just hope it goes from here, from us to people's hearts. And yeah, however that can change you or help you or change your views or, you know, whatever it could do that's positive.
Kareem?
Know? Yeah, I agree. Just affecting people in a positive way and creating something that brings everyone together, peace.
And Common, briefly?
Yeah. I mean, I like when everybody's happy. So if our music can make people feel better about themselves and closer to God, that's what I want.
Wrapped on my show. I have earned my paycheck. Common, Robert Glasper, Kareem Riggins, better known as August Green. Gentlemen, thanks for spending the hour
with
us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. This is 1A.
Mountains sing songs, kings dream long, and simple acts is when the scene forms. I improv to improve and involve the been throughs through them falls and them fools, brick walls and venues. Symbols assembled to continue. It was written in God, don't use pencils. Dimension and extensions of a man. Intention of divine intervention and a plan. Remnants of when I ran, footprints in the sand. The son of man gave me a tan, that's who I am. The emphatical, radical, mathematical, travel to capitals, the actual fact, extract practical. I seen pain to make the day cry. It take practice. Somebody tell AI. Every day I pray I stay my course, open my eyes.